John, when someone dies, do they become an angel or simply just a spirit and off they go to that other plane?
Well, the usual idea among, I guess you could say that angels being superior spiritual beings as far as the official position of, the medieval church, angels would be, let me put it this way, kind of like Kipling would say, east is east and west is west and never the twain shall meet. So the conventional view is that angels are superior spiritual beings above us on the evolutionary scale. They never incarnated on earth in flesh. Humans are a completely different species, you might say. But that's just one viewpoint. Other people have had the opinion that human beings gradually evolving and growing in consciousness eventually would evolve to angelhood. According to this, it's more this viewpoint has it more as a sliding scale, that if we continue to grow spiritually, eventually we'll attain angelhood. But the traditional view is that the ranks are fixed. And I think that kind of ties into the general philosophy of the Middle Ages, which was a non-evolutionary way of looking at the universe. And you even see that in salvation and damnation, where the typical medieval theological view was that if you're saved by grace, you're saved forever, and if you're damned, you're damned forever. Once you leave the physical world, there's no room for evolution anymore. Your consciousness can't go up, can't go down. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest church philosopher of the Middle Ages, his viewpoint is just, you know, one of many competing theories. His idea was that at the moment of creation, when the angels were just newly minted, you might say, they were given a small window of opportunity, a matter of seconds, to decide for or against their creator, a little brief period of free will. And once they made their decision, well, that was fixed for all time. The one-third of the heavenly host that opted against him was damned forever. I'm partial to the idea of an evolutionary universe. I think most modern people are. I see human beings evolving and devolving, you might say, in consciousness, mostly evolving, in physical form on this plane in their earthly lives. I don't see any reason why spiritual evolution or devolution, but mostly evolution, would not continue in the afterlife. Let me say one more thing about that. Origen of Alexandria, probably the greatest scholar of the ancient Christian church, he was a rather unorthodox fellow, very popular, held a lot of classes for Christians and pagans in the late 200s AD in Alexandria, which at that time was the intellectual capital of the Western world, because it had the big library there that had thousands and thousands of scrolls, so scholars from all over the world settled there so they could be next to the books. Origen's idea was that at the beginning of time, when God created the universe, those entities that decided to stay closest to him, once he gave everybody free will, those that stayed closest to them were the higher angels, were the ethereal bodies, very ethereal bodies, and then those that drifted a little farther from him became lower angels with a little bit more dense bodies, but still airy or ethereal. Those that drifted still further were humans in physical form, and those that drifted farthest were the devils with even denser, coarser bodies. So that's just another viewpoint.
Are angels divided into the hierarchies?
There's almost universal belief that angels are hierarchical, and why wouldn't they be? Because we're hierarchical. When you look at life on Earth, you see a great chain of being, you know, that stretches from the simplest protons, neutrons, the quarks. They assemble to make protons, neutrons, and electrons. They make atoms. The atoms assemble to make molecules. The molecules assemble to make cells. The cells assemble to make us. And we just move up the evolutionary scale. I look, after many years of this, I look at the angel kingdom as just a loose way of saying all of those entities that are more highly evolved than we are in spiritual form, stretching all the way up to the apex, or the highest point, the acme of creation, where the universal mind, which encompasses everything, sits there. I see evidence of hierarchy among us in the physical world, I would assume it would continue in the spiritual world. And the medieval church, of course, latched on, had various competing theories about the nature of the hierarchies. The most popular one that eventually became the unofficial standard of the Roman Catholic Church was the Dionysian theory. Dionysius was a writer who flourished around the 500s AD, if I remember correctly. And he wrote a book called detailing his theory of the celestial hierarchy. And because he took the name Dionysius, who was a popular personage in the book of Acts, everybody thought the book gained authority that it probably shouldn't have, because this was a pseudonym that he adopted. Later on in the High Middle Ages, scholars proved that the real Dionysius could not possibly have written the book. But Dionysius was somebody that Paul knew in the book of Acts when he was on his missionary trip spreading Christianity around the empire. So anyway, Dionysius had nine orders of angels, from the highest angels, the seraphim, all the way on down to the lowest rank, which was the guardian, the individual guardian angel that looks after human beings. And the higher angels, the highest three ranks, were involved with either just attending the throne, you might say, just communing with God. The middle echelon was involved with, I guess you could say, twisting the knobs of the universe, staying at the dashboard of the universe, making sure everything works properly, keeping the force of gravity adjusted just right. And then the lower three ranks got involved in more mundane things, the destinies of nations, the protection of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to understand there are hundreds of different theories about how angels are organized, And in my opinion, most of it's just speculative. I do agree with the basic idea, though, that angels do exist in hierarchies. Why wouldn't they?
Why do we see pictures of angels, halos, harps, wings? Where did that all come from?
That is artistic symbolism. Angels, you know, artists are always looking for ways to illustrate what is difficult to be visualized. The halo, for example, it was a convention that artists settled on to represent the aura or the body of light of an angel. It became stylized as a little ring at the top of the head, or in the case of the Eastern Orthodox Christians, a solid golden disc behind the head of the two-dimensional figures there. The wings of an angel would be another very widespread symbol. The original angels were wingless in Roman times, classical
right.
times. Gradually, some artists began depicting angels on the model of the Greek goddess of victory, Nike, who was a winged figure. And I guess my understanding is that the wings were attached in order to symbolize the fact that as spiritual beings, angels can move instantaneously, just like we in our mind can go from this interview to the edge of the universe in our imagination. We can do it instantaneously. And of course, in the near-death experience, spiritual travel is instantaneous. The mind goes where it wants to without any limitations and as quickly as it wants to. So wings are a good symbol of that kind of rapid flight, you might say.